Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, Pitt fans? Noah Hiles, Chris Carter here with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And as always, we got another Pitt mailbag. Chris is locking in here.
Let's go, baby.
I appreciate it. All right. So the Panthers, of course, coming off another loss, if we're talking about the football team, that is, losing Saturday night at Yankee Stadium 28-13 to the Syracuse Orange. The basketball team, meanwhile, we don't know the result from Monday's game as we're recording this Monday afternoon, but a great first week of the regular season at the very least for Jeff Capel's team. They started the season 2-0. We'll see, obviously, how they play out Monday evening. We won't be able to comment on that one because we're recording now. But a lot to get into, football and basketball questions. But first off, Carter, how's it going? Any opening thoughts as we get started here?
Oh, man. Just that basketball has been very fun so far, and there's a lot of reasons to be excited about this team. Still have a lot to prove. They still haven't played anybody real yet, but really good signs, and we'll get into what those are in the show.
Absolutely. Before we get into it, we got to talk about the show's presenting sponsor, which is Mike's Beer Bar. Whether you're in for a Steelers, Pirates, or Pitt game, Mike's Beer Bar is right across the street from PNC Park and has the best selection of beer in town, as well as amazing food options. They have over 20 TVs, and you can catch all of your NFL, college football, Pirates, Penguins, Riverhounds, and Premier League action right at Mike's. Come on in and try one of their 500 different available beers, 300 of them being local beers, as well as 80 different local craft beers available on tap. You can also get a flight to try out every option you could dream of. And trust me, you won't run out of favorites because I never do. And I'm always there. Try their steak on a stone for an awesome meal where you can choose how hot you want your steak cooked with a heated stone right in front of you as you enjoy a night out in Pittsburgh. Come on in to Mike's Beer Bar and get your sports fix and experience the best bar in Pittsburgh. First question of the mailbag comes from Bill. He wants to know, he says, do you all speculate on what coaches will be back next season? It's a little morbid since these are folks' jobs, but it's also the reality of the coaching profession. At any rate, even though there haven't been many bright spots in any area of the team, just based on tenure and track record, it would seem like Randy Bates, Charlie Partridge, Tim Salem would have the highest likelihood of returning, while Frank Cignetti, of course, would have the highest odds of not. But who else would join him on this list potentially? Tycon Underwood, Ryan Manilak? I like this question. Obviously, we've talked about coaching changes many times this season on mailbags. Mm-hmm. As the year kind of unfolds, we hear more and more stuff. Carter, I'll start with you. We can just go through personally who we think is safe and who we think will be gone.
I think Tycon Underwood's safe. I think the receivers have performed well. Pat Narduzzi even talked about that when I asked him about the wide receivers, just saying that they've grown and they've shown the kind of stuff that you want to see from a group, even while the rest of the whole team is struggling. So Tycon Underwood, I think, is safe. Tim Salem, I think, you know, he's just a lifer. So like,
yeah.
It's tough to. Like, yeah. I have a hard time. But here's the other thing is that Pat Narduzzi has shown a lot of loyalty to several of these coaches. Andre Powell's been around since he got here. Tim Salem has. Dave Borbley has. And so if there's changes, there's going to be that it would be to some guys that have been with Pat Narduzzi for quite some time. And I look at those guys right there, especially Borbley and Powell at, you know, not that Pat Narduzzi is going to want to get rid of them, but I feel like he's like if you're people behind the scenes that have any influence on what Pat Narduzzi and telling Pat what Pat Narduzzi has to do if he wants to not be on less of a hot seat next year, it would be to make some changes on offense with how things operate. You know, Frank Cignetti seems to be like an obvious choice just with how the offense has performed this year. But at the same time, you know, I look at the, you know, Pitt's offensive line hasn't progressed. Like, you know, and granted, lots of injuries to this group. Like, you know, that Dave Borbley can't help that. But there are a lot of young guys, you know, like Ryan Bear that I thought we'd see more progress from. And we haven't seen the progress from them as much. The running back room, you know, it kind of just is what it is. And special teams hasn't been great. So those are both under Andre Powell's, you know, watch. And again, this isn't me saying they're going to get fired. But I was like, if you put a gun to my head and said, hey, you got to pick two, you know, a couple guys that would be looked at, those would be the first two that I would say like would have the likelihood of being looked at for that. What about you?
My rankings, I think there are four guys who I would not be shocked to see gone. Number one is the easy one, Frank Cignetti.
Yeah.
While we don't know the specifics of his contract, I'm not even sure that he's under contract next season. Those details have never been made public, to my understanding. So I'm not even sure if this guy is under contract next year. And if he's not, then there's just no way he's back. But regardless, even if he is, I don't expect Frank Cignetti Jr. to be back. And that goes with pretty much everything anyone on the beat has heard, that it seems like he is done at the end of the year. Number two on this list of guys who I don't expect to be back would be Coach Borbley. I think it might be more of a mix of, I don't know how old Coach Borbley is, but I know he's not a spring chicken. He's been in this coaching game for a while, and it's becoming tougher and tougher to coach college football. You got to think about when he started, what the task list was for an offensive line coach, and what it now has become with how much extra effort goes into recruiting and player retention and how the game's evolved. I think it might just be time where he recognizes that he's done. And if not, like, I could see him also maybe being let go or having a mutual parting of ways. But just based on stuff I heard, I wouldn't be shocked if he was gone at the end of the year. Two other guys that I have question marks about. One of them is Andre Powell. Like you said, Chris, I mean, Powell and Narduzzi go way back. They coached together at Rhode Island. I mean, I remember last year when Andre was telling stories about how Pat, like, as a young assistant, was redoing the cabinets in the coach's office, and which was funny. But, you know, will that loyalty be put to test? Like you said, he's been loyal, but let's take an honest look at what Andre Powell's been responsible for this year. The running back position has not been great. And you look at the special teams, as the special teams coach, it's been bad. So maybe that's enough for him to make a change, or maybe just get a demotion where he's just the running backs coach and they bring in someone else who assumes a position role plus special teams duties. I don't know. I would say that one's 50-50. And another one that I'm 50-50 on is Coach Underwood. I don't think he's done anything to be relieved of his duties. I think anytime your OC gets let go, anyone who's in charge of coordinating the passing game, I believe he and Cignetti came in around the same time. They might just be kind of a package thing where if one goes, the other's going to go. And whereas Cignetti, I don't know what his next stop will be. I think if Underwood leaves, it will be to take a job elsewhere. I don't think he'll be relieved of his duties. I think if Cignetti goes, I wouldn't be shocked to say Underwood or see Underwood say, you know, read the writing on the wall and just be like, you know what, I'm going to go work somewhere else. Which, you know, he's a young coach. Like that's going to happen. So I don't know if it'll even be a lateral move. Maybe it would be an upward move. I don't think it would be a backtrack or a lesser opportunity. But I think if in this situation, it would make sense where if the OC, who probably helped hire him, was gone, that he would probably go seek employment elsewhere. So those would be the four guys that I keep an eye on. Like you said, Chris, and what Bill said in his question, I agree. I mean, Tim Salem he's here for the long run. He might be here after Narduzzi, whenever that is. That's just a guy. I was joking with someone the other day how, you know, every coach on the staff could get fired, but Tim Salem's going to be out on the East Coast scouting three-star quarterback and linebackers, you know, finding an ex-great player from New Jersey. That's just what's going to happen. So he'll be back. Charlie Partridge ain't going anywhere. I don't expect Randy Bates to go anywhere. And Ryan Manilak, I think, is in the same boat as Underwood, where if he leaves, it will be for a better opportunity, because I think his linebackers had a really good season, but I don't expect him to leave simply because that's probably going to be their best position group on the team next year.
Yeah.
So I would expect him to stick around, and then both secondary coaches, Archie Collins and Corey Sanders, don't expect them leaving not on their own terms. You know, you never know after 2-7, 2-8, whatever the season ends being, best case scenario 4-8, worst case scenario 2-10. Some guys might just want to change the scenery, and can you blame them?
Possible.
But out of all the people who are kind of forced out, I would say it would go Cignetti 1, Powell 2, Borbs 3, and then Underwood 4. That would be my rankings. So, on the note of departures, Russ wants to know, do you expect to see a large group of players leave in the transfer portal at the end of this season, or will the fact that most of them are young and can return as a starter, will that be enough to keep the team's core together? I'll start with this one.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I think there will be a larger number of total transfers this year. I mean, you even look last year, like it wasn't like they only lost one or they lost a decent amount of guys. Like I don't have the exact number in front of me. It feels like at least 5 to 10 mm-hmm. left. You figure two receivers, a couple guys on the defensive side of the ball. There just weren't a lot of significant departures. I would say probably the most significant portal, obviously the starting quarterback left, and then John Morgan on the defensive side of the ball. But no one else really like that big of a name left. Where I think this year, yeah, you're going to see probably a more notable name leave. I'm not sure who that would be. But I think where it's going to stand out is Pitt has a lot of guys who can be a graduate transfer.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like John Morgan last year, where these guys had been around for 3-4, in some cases 5 seasons, where they can go somewhere else for one final year. And it might not be anything against the program, where it might just be like, look, I don't want to have to compete for a starting job, or, you know, my position coach just got let go, or I've been here for 5 years. It's time for a change of scenery. It's time for the younger guys to get an opportunity. One of those three factors could lead into someone. And this isn't anything I've heard, but just for example, like a guy like Bub Means has another year, a guy like Deion Hayes, a guy like Nate Temple, a guy, you know, players like that, Brandon George, who all have 1 year of eligibility where there are talented young players around them. And they might just want to go somewhere else where maybe they could get a little bit of NIL money. And be a bigger focus because they were brought in through the portal. So that's what I would see. Yeah, I do think that the number is going to be higher. I don't think you're going to see a ton of players where when you read their name and think, wow, like that's a big loss. Because quite frankly, I mean, when you're 2-10 or 2-8 right now, you're not getting great production from many people.
Yeah. I mean,
So I guess that's the way to round this up is, yes, I do think there will be more transfers. I'm not sure how many young starters with multiple years of eligibility will be gone, but I do think there will be a decent amount of guys who take their final senior year or their COVID year as a graduate transfer somewhere else.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is a group that also has a bunch of guys that have played together for a bit. And I think that counts for a lot for them. Pitt's retained guys. Now, we haven't seen Pitt have to try to retain people in the NIL era after a losing season. Right. So that'll be interesting to watch. But, like, you know, we heard noise about how, you know, going into 2022, you know, teams were trying to take away Kalijah Kansi. Teams were trying to take away Brandon Hill, and both of them stayed home. You know, and granted, that was after an ACC championship season. So, like, you know, it's a different tone. But to what you're saying, I think that there's a lot still built up here for a lot of guys, and I think there's also a sense that they can turn the ship around. next year if a few things go their way. So yeah, I think there will be plenty of people, but not many pillars that leave, if you know what I'm saying. Like guys,
right,
guys who were seen as cornerstones for the potential of the of this team. There might be one of those types of guys that goes, because you never know with the transfer portal. It can be, it can get very wild. And it also depends on who they get in the transfer portal, because it could very well come, turn out to be that they some of these guys end up leaving because they get word of who's coming through the transfer portal and it might take their spot.
To wrap this up, I will say it will be interesting to see who walks Thursday night on senior night. Because with the COVID thing, and there's only a couple more years where guys have this extra year of eligibility. I believe it's this year and next year. I think the bulk of the people who leave will be players that if the COVID year had not existed, they would probably be just out of eligibility anyway. Right. I think everyone who walks pretty much this year on senior night will be gone. I think that that's a safe assumption to make, or a very, very large percentage, where what that wasn't necessarily the case last year. So we'll move on now. Bill wants to know Thursday's matchup with Thursday's matchup being against Boston College. Is there any chance we see Phil Dracovic get some playing time? If so, where? I want to start this off by saying we saw the impact a tight end under center can have on offense on Saturday. I mean, Syracuse had a leading rusher and a leading passer that was a tight end. And that guy was also recruited to play quarterback out of high school by Pitt. Sorry to make that joke. But no, in all seriousness, I do expect to see Phil on the field. Yeah. And I think we will see him in a multitude of ways. I would not be shocked to see him out on special teams, where we saw him a little bit. I believe that was the Florida State game where he was on the punt return unit. I think that on offense, they're going to use him in a unique way. I don't expect him to play quarterback, but I think they could use him as like a hybrid wildcat type thing. Not exactly what Syracuse did last weekend, but something where it's clear he's going to run, but you have to play him honest because he did play quarterback and he can throw. I don't expect him to be in like a 3-point stance and line up at tight end, but if there were an over under on total touches for Dracovic, I would take over half a touch. I think he will get at least a carry or a reception against the Eagles Thursday. Maybe even a pass. You know what? I'll say that too. Just, yeah. Over. I'll even go over under 1.5. I think he will have at least two
I'll take
involvements on a play. Yeah. Carter, yeah, what about
I'll take the over. I can see jet sweeps. I can see all sorts of things. I think they'll throw him in there, and especially because like now, like this ain't. I know Pat Narduzzi's gonna say we're playing to win and all that, but like now, there's not nearly as much pressure to like you got the ACC championship on the line. They're gonna go play with their hearts out, and part of their hearts out has been Phil. And one thing I think across the board, what we've heard this year, nobody's lost Phil. No one, the players aren't like, bah, you know, he's a tight end now, we don't care. People like him and like him because of the effort that he's put in. And at least to our knowledge, he has not sit and moaned and complained or anything. He was just like, how can I help this team still? I only got about a month left of football in my collegiate career. I'd love to find a way to contribute. And he is doing that. So I think the team will be more than happy. I mean, you saw what was that game when they called the QB sneak? That was Florida State. When he got that, the whole team was like dapping him on the helmet. Right. Like they were psyched for Phil. I think the team wants something like this to happen. I think that the Cignetti will give that to him. Pat will be more than happy to give that to him. And I think the players will want to help make that moment for him happen.
I agree. And in a year like this, where there just hasn't been a lot of things to be excited about, I think that that gives your team a spark when you can give a moment to a guy like that. So
yes.
Steve wants to know, who do you two think will start at quarterback Thursday? And to follow up, who do you two think should start at quarterback on Thursday? Carter, I'll let you start with this one.
It should be Christian, and it will be Christian. Listen, I know there's frustration with how he's played and there's been a lot of mistakes. It's not clean at all. I'm not saying that Christian has, you know, I'm not trying to be a Christian Veyer truth or anything, but when they put Nate Yarnell in, you could see the difference. Like there was a play where, you know, everything was kind of lined up and okay, and he just gets skittish for no reason, and he just starts running, and it's like, why are you trying to move? They have the alignment you want. The offensive line is protecting, and that's something that you don't see as much from Christian. You know, Christian made some terrible mistakes. The interception that he threw, the pick six, there was no excuse for that. The two fumbles that he had, no excuse for those either. And so, like, you know, he's done that, but I see more of the potential in Veyer than I have seen in Nate Yarnell. I think Nate Yarnell is a solid backup option that can give you a spark if you absolutely need a change in game, because a guy is just out of his mind playing terribly and you know, can't be fixed in the game. But as far as a guy, you stick with Christian Veyer right now. You have him finish the season out and go from there. And if you want to bring him back next year, great. But this game, it should be and it will be Christian Veyer.
I'm not 100% confident that it's going to be Veyer really all by himself. I wouldn't be shocked to see it be like a two quarterback thing for the rest of the year. Because Pat's done that in the past where they played multiple guys. And I think you've got to a point where, you know, he uses the term, we're trying to win a football game. It might be in your best interest to give both guys an opportunity if you're trying to win a football game, because you need to see who's playing better. Because Christian, you know, you give him the pass against teams like Florida State and Notre Dame, but his worst game of the season came against the worst team he's played this year. So yeah. I think at the very least, yeah, you give Yarnell an opportunity here. I think Christian starts. I think he should start, but I wouldn't be shocked at all. And I'm hoping to keep digging and maybe find some more stuff out on this, which is, you know, what we're paid to do. But, you know, I haven't heard anything concrete right now, but I would not be totally caught off guard if we saw Nate Yarnell come in and just get a couple of snaps. Maybe they alternate quarters or series. I don't know what that would look like, but I'll just say, yeah, I don't think it will be Christian Veyer getting 100% of the snaps with the ones on Thursday. So, and that's just going off of my own educated guesses here, because I was asked the question. Bruce wants to know, okay, football talk is done. Carter, take a deep breath. All right. Bruce wants to know, is it wrong to be super excited about how Pitt basketball has looked in the first week of the season, or are we jumping the gun? Well, Bruce, they just lost by 30 to Florida Gulf Coast Monday night. I'm just kidding. We don't know. We don't know how Monday night went because we're recording this at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't want to assume either way. So we'll just speak on the first week. Judging off the first week, I'd say be optimistic. I wouldn't, you know, declare this team an ACC champion, but what I would say is how that team looked in the first week of the season this year was equivalent to what Pitt looked at its best last year at any moments. You look at their most dominant performances when they were blowing out Louisville midseason. I think that's when the team was really firing on all cylinders. The second Louisville game, especially. Mm-hmm. Just the way they dominated Louisville, who, let's be honest, isn't that far away from a Binghamton and North Carolina A&T last year's Louisville team compared to those teams this year. Pitt looked really good. Now, again, I think they see another step up in competition Monday against Florida Gulf Coast, and that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I think Jacksonville is a decent opponent, but then the real games start next week in Brooklyn. But overall, yes, there is certainly a reason, in my opinion, to be encouraged. But don't go thinking that this team's just, you know, don't go thinking we're back in the heart of the Jamie Dixon era and this team is a lock to be a 4 seed or better in the tournament. They still have a lot to prove before they're anything aside from frisky right
now. Yeah, but at the same time, too, it's like, you know, for quite some time, these games were not easy for Pitt.
No, they were not. They're not.
There were some struggles. I covered Pitt when they lost to the Citadel. Ooh. And buddy, woof, those were some dark times. And like the next day, Judah Mintz decommitted, and it was just the program was on fire. So for them to not only be winning these games, but to be beating these teams like Pitt normally used to beat teams that were non-conference, start of the season, just pushovers, that's a very good sign. And you have every right to be excited about it. And I also think the ways that they're doing it, they're athletic. They can still shoot. Multiple people can still shoot. Their length is good. Their depth is good. They're getting, they're letting these guys play a little bit, and they're having fun together. They seem to like each other. That's all. That's a lot of boxes to check right now. And those are boxes that weren't always checked in the Jeff Capel era. So as far as should you, does it feel right or does it not feel right to be excited right now? You're a Pitt fan. You saw last year and what that could do for you. I think that the more positivity that goes into this, you know, I'll be interested to see. I'll ask this question to you. I'll jump in on the mailbag here, Noah. How soon do we see a packed Pete this year? Because it hasn't been packed in any of the first two contests, but that's normal for, you know, these types of games, and Pitt's still not, you know, back to its prowess yet. But how long would you say before that we see a packed Peterson Event Center?
Let me pull up the schedule. I also want to add on to the fact that another reason to be optimistic too is there have been two instances, and one in each game, where I think in past years things would kind of fall apart for Pitt. In the season opener, the best player on the team gets two fouls in the first 7 minutes. And in past years, that kind of leads to a scoring drought. But instead, they figure it out. And they get like a crazy scoring rampage from Jorge Diaz-Graham, and the show goes on. Then you look at Friday night, they started ice cold from the field. Mm-hmm. And the fact that no one really blinked and it was just, all right, we're just going to play the hot hand now until everyone else figures it out. That's a sign of a good team, that they're not rattled by these early mistakes. As far as an early sellout goes, it depends on how Brooklyn goes. If this team goes to Brooklyn and beats Florida and either Oregon State or Baylor, if especially it beats Baylor, you're looking at a game at home Monday, that following Monday against Missouri. Don't expect that to be sold out. It's the Monday after Thanksgiving, but there will be a good crowd there. And then you go to at Morgantown. Or no, excuse me. After the Missouri game is a Sunday home game at 2 p.m. against
Clemson.
Yeah. Now, are the Steelers playing that Sunday?
They are. They are playing the Cardinals, but it's the Cardinals. But if the Steelers are good,
I don't know. My brain thought that was the week they played New England. And I was like, if the Steelers are off that Sunday and Pitt's still unbeaten and Clemson's good, I thought that could be the first sellout. But nope, the first sellout's going to be on, I don't know, because the North Carolina game's on January 2nd. That's when everyone's on break. So I don't know if that's going to be a sellout.
Yeah, it's tough.
I would say probably the 9th against Duke will probably be the first sellout.
I think that's a good bet.
I feel like most people will be back on campus then. I feel like based off the way things are trending, Pitt will be in a favorable spot. That could be a ranked matchup, you know, top 25 matchup. Tuesday night, 9 p.m. tip. That's kind of tough. But I think that the hype around Duke, the hype that – if they can beat West Virginia, if they can avoid an upset against Syracuse, if they can beat North Carolina, I mean, we'll be well into the basketball season by that point. I think either Duke or that Saturday, the 23rd against Notre Dame, those would be my first two, or Saturday the 3rd, in February, will be the first two sellout opportunities.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's hard to sell out. Yeah, it's hard to sell out that place when, you know, on a Sunday game, like, the circumstances just aren't ideal. Like, they've got big games, but people aren't going to be on campus for those games. And it's just early in the season. But I think once it gets rolling, I'll say this. I think there will be more sellouts than there were last year. There were two last year. I would say I put the over-under at 4.5 this year. So.
I think it's a good number, yeah.
Yes. All right, Carter, any final thoughts?
Just that I'm excited to cover this basketball game that's technically already happened by the time you're listening to this. So, we'll have a lot going on there. It's senior day. I'll say this too. It's senior day this week for Pitt football. guys at Boston College. You know, I hope that they you know, these are guys that I've covered for years now and guys that we've covered all season and last season. And I hope that these guys still get to relish their senior day. I know that, you know, for them, this is the worst season that they've been a part of, but those type of things, you know, you don't ever get that back again unless you're, you know, COVID years, you have gotten that back again. Kenny Pickett walked twice. But it's still something that should be celebrated and should be respected. And I hope that, you know, the season doesn't necessarily spoil them being able to enjoy a minute to reflect on not just the day, but the commitment that they made, the support that they got from their families and the support they got from their teammates to celebrate the times that they've been at Pitt.
All right. I think that's a good place to wrap it up on. For Chris Carter, I'm Noah Hiles. We're signing off saying keep tuning in to the Post-Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel and podcast network for all of your Pittsburgh sports coverage by the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Take care.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.